The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
It is the Business News Hour. With us is Wayne Bruins. He has been teaching a course at Terrell International on, this is scary for some of us, change. And, you know, this is the time of the year when lots of us make some New Year's resolutions, maybe hopefully to change. And so we're going to talk about the professional and personal importance of, well, of accepting change. Wayne, welcome back to the NewsHour.
Always great to be here, Michael.
Good to have you, my friend. You know, there are a lot of folks who decide that this is now the time to somehow make a resolution. And do we stick to them? Some, perhaps. But why is change so difficult for people?
Well, thank you, Michael. You're right. Change is very difficult for a lot of people, particularly if they're faced with something that they determine is very challenging or difficult. They really have some difficulties making those resolutions we always make in New Year's
Let's talk about some of those.
Sure.
How about procrastination?
Oh, procrastination. How do you change procrastination?
Yeah.
When we want to change those situations so we're not so late all the time. It becomes difficult because for a couple reasons. We are in a situation where we are so comfortable the way we've done things in the past. We're comfortable being late.
Sure.
We're comfortable doing that. We don't feel like we need to change anything. And then we start to make that change, try to be on time, and it feels very uncomfortable. We have to consciously think about it. It takes some effort. It makes a lot of process. I don't remember a couple months ago I was here and I had you write with your other hand.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And how difficult that was. It turns out when we're making that change of a habit that we think about almost unconsciously, we move into that world where things are very conscious. We are having a lot of difficulty to make that all happen for us, and we have to process that, take some time to work through it, and realize that's going to be not so good for a while. It's not going to be very efficient. It's not going to work perfectly. But if you make a mistake, go ahead and start over again. That's perfectly fine.
It's really a mental thing then, huh?
It's very much a mental thing.
You know, I have a good friend. His name is Desmond Adams, who I think the world of. And Desmond has said to me more than once, he said, you know, I always try to get to whatever meeting I'm going to 10 minutes early. If I'm later than 10 minutes early, I'm late.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just done that. I mean, that's how he programs himself. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us who are running a little bit behind the times, maybe that's not a bad idea. Just set your mental clock forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What other things about change make it so difficult, Wayne? You say it's an uncomfortable feeling to get there.
Mm-hmm.
How does Terrell International seek to help people live with change?
Sure. Yeah. As you mentioned, we teach a class called Champion Innovation and Leading Change Within Your Organization. And what it does, it looks at a lot of techniques, ways to imprint ourselves with different ways to make that possible, to make that change a little easier over time. It does take practice. You're not going to be able to do it overnight. And when you start down that path of change, it will be something that will not be as efficient as possible. But one technique is really simple. Put it down in writing.
Just write it down?
Write it down. And by doing that, you're going to commit yourself a little bit more. And if you're willing to publicize it to other people, if you're willing to show that thing you're going to be doing to someone else, you're going to have
accountability partner.
Accountability makes all the difference. You're going to have someone say, yeah, you said you were going to do that. You didn't do it. But now that you have it on paper, you're going to be more committed to doing that. We tend to believe things more when it's on paper as opposed to just saying it verbally.
So individuals who are having a busy day, and we all tend to have busy days on a regular basis, if you take the time, I would suspect, and then write down your to-do list and enumerate that, you will find that you perhaps get through those things more rapidly?
Absolutely. If you can have a list of putting things down, as you said before, having that to-do list is really helpful. Even if you don't refer to it again, we know that by writing things down, we'll remember things more. You may not even go back and refer to it again. But having that in writing makes a big difference.
Gosh, this sounds like a legal thing. Get it in writing.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen. Wayne Bruins, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about change and how difficult it can be. When making change, when it all becomes difficult, and I suspect we can look on some past experiences. Mm-hmm. How do those impact whether or not it's difficult or easy? Do we look back and say, well, you know, I changed X, Y, and Z. Maybe I can do
it again.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah. But let me tell you another thing, because that is a very important question about how can we refer back to the past. But if we're facing something in the future that's going to be very difficult for us, are we more likely, do you think, to look at something that went wrong in the past or something that went right?
Probably at wrong.
And then we start to imprint ourselves that we're going to be failing at this. On the other hand, try to find an experience you had in the past. Try to find something that you did really well. And put yourself back in that place. What did you do to make that successful? Hmm. What kind of response did you get to the people around you when you were successful? Did you get a raise? Did you get applause? What happened? And also think about how it made you feel. By referring back to those things in the past that you were successful in and trying to connect that dots to what you're doing now will tend to make you more successful because you're looking for that same kind of recognition in the future.
So, okay, one of the things that we've talked about before on the program, Wayne, is if you tell yourself that you don't remember names well, mm-hmm. you'll probably not be able to remember names well. So this is all partly positive reinforcement of good things that have happened in the past, carrying it forward.
Yeah, I mean, we're not doing touchy-feely stuff here. Yeah. All we're doing is saying reinforcing yourself, remembering what you did well, and trying to encourage yourself to do the same thing again.
Would that work even though it's a situation or something that's not? For example, let's say I'm really good at chess. You know, I'm just making this up because I'm pretty bad at chess. But let's say I'm pretty good at chess, and I've had several mm-hmm. tournaments, and I've done well at that. But I fear constructing a chicken coop.
Mm-hmm.
So how do those things work together? I mean, here's one thing, and very different than the other.
We probably suggest, Michael, in a situation like that, you probably try to find something that's a little closer to building that chicken coop. You can use that situation where you're dealing with playing chess by just being something that you feel more self-confident about that. Absolutely, it's a positive thing, but we don't necessarily want to connect necessarily chess with chicken coop. Well, there might be connections.
You know,
I can't refer to that, but we know.
One never knows. It could
be. Absolutely right.
I'm not so good at chess, but I have built some doggone nice chicken coops in the past. You know, folks say that if you visualize, mm-hmm. yeah, and that's so important, isn't it? If you visualize what the outcome might be.
Yeah, thank you for letting me have a chance to talk about that. You know, athletes do this all the time.
They do. And we're trained that way.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we have a tendency when we go back and those basketball players who visualize the ball going in the basket, the football player, you know, seeing that touchdown pass go through it, he visualizes that situation or she visualizes the basketball going in, and that helps reinforce the positive aspect of that. I mean, we have a really good story we tell at Terrell about this one woman who did a great job of learning the importance of visualization. The story goes, it was 1952. She was 34 years old. Her name was Florence Chadwick, and she wanted to be the very first woman to swim the Catalina Channel. This is a 21-mile stretch of ocean in California between mm-hmm. Catalina Island and the coast of California. So one cold, foggy morning, she started wading in the water with a nation watching on national television, and she began to swim. Lap after lap, stroke after stroke, hour after hour in that cold, foggy water, could not see more than a few feet in front of her. Even worse, they had sharks apparently started to circle her. Fortunately, the support boat would shoot in the water to get the sharks away and everything, so that helped her. Finally, at about 16 hours, she called the boat over and said, I cannot go any further. They pulled her on board, and she found out she was only a half a mile away from the coast from that 21-mile stretch. She came back a month later and was going to try it again. Still cold, still foggy, still sharks in the water.
All the same stuff.
Except this time she did something different. When she started to swim, she started to visualize what the end would look like. She visualized herself reaching the shore of California. She visualized people applauding and cheering her on. She visualized the cameras going off. She visualized those people interviewing her, and that's exactly what happened. She was able to finish her goal by visualizing the end goal and subsequently became the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel, but also kept the record for speed for any man or woman for about 2 years.
Hmm.
So we ask ourselves as business people, as individuals, what can we do to visualize our future? If we want to increase sales next year by 20%, can we visualize what that might feel like, what that might look like? How would we spend that extra money? What would you do in that situation? It really helps.
So just like in the sports world, about the ball going through the hoop or the kicker making it through the uprights, visualize what success looks like. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. So, there's a bunch of people this time of year that are saying, okay, I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to become more physically active. I'm going to buff up a little bit. And then maybe March comes around and we're not so fortunate in that. Mm-hmm. What might we want to do? I'm going to lose 100 pounds, you know?
Yeah, and that is a very important question, Michael, because what happens a lot of times, they make too big of a grandiose goal. One big goal, so I'm going to lose 100 pounds. And then it gets to 11th month, and they say, I haven't lost nearly that amount. Our recommendation is to take small baby steps. Say, by next month, I'm going to lose 5 pounds. And then celebrate each one of those wins. Maybe reward yourself for doing those small wins, but make sure those small wins build toward the bigger wins.
Okay. So baby steps as you go along.
Baby steps, because you want to have that acknowledgement and also that feeling that you can do this. One big win of 100 pounds is a really big goal.
That's a big goal.
Really hard to do, but if you can take the moment to do small ones and celebrate each win along the way, you're much more likely to succeed in the long run.
We're visiting with Wayne Bruns, ladies and gentlemen, from Taro International, talking about the difficulty of change as we roll into 2018. So you guys at Taro are a communications company, right?
Absolutely.
So what are we doing talking about change? How does communicating with yourself effectuate change?
Mm-hmm. The communication in this situation, we're talking about something called self-talk. What do we say to ourselves?
Oh.
Too often we get in a situation where
I'm the worst whatever.
I'm the worst person. I'm not going to be able to do this. If it's at the business environment, you have a big change happening and we start doing that trash talk about, I don't see how this will ever work. What a dumb idea. And, of course, it's self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is.
We're saying instead to try and take a moment and do some, maybe positive reinforcement. Use the word I as opposed to we in this situation. I can do this. And also do it positively. Say that I believe this change will result in a 20% growth in our business by next year, as opposed to being on the negative side. A great story, a real short story I heard years ago, is about Mother Teresa. And she was asked to join in an anti-war march.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I won't do that, but I will join you in a pro-peace march. Mm-hmm. Simple flip of the words, it can make all the difference. And we can do certain things not only for ourselves, but even our young children. A really simple technique, if you have a really young child, if you want to make them feel more self-confident and more positive about the world, when they're going to sleep at night, ask them to answer two questions. The first one is, what did you do today that you were particularly proud of? And what are you looking forward to tomorrow? And guess what? That can also be used for us as adults.
Yeah, that is so true. The impact that we have on our kids. I remember when our son was just a youngster, and every morning he'd head off to school, and my final words to him before he would leave the door is, I would say, I know you're going to be a winner today. And
makes a big difference in what
does.
You say.
But again, really,
as adults, what do we say? We have a really bad day. We think about all those bad things that happen. We go to sleep at night, and then we think about tomorrow, how bad it's going to be. If we can just flip that.
Yeah.
Will be so much more ahead of the game.
Change your have-tos for your get-tos, so to speak. And, one of the things, and nobody wants to be a Donnie or a Debbie Downer in a group think or a group team. It just doesn't work out very well. What are you looking for in changes in 2018, Wayne?
Oh, I'm glad you gave us a chance to talk about that. We had a really successful year this past year. We did a lot of new initiatives. We started a live YouTube broadcast every Monday morning, 9:03. You were on it, the program a few weeks ago. Glad you had that opportunity. We have a lot of new media, new programs up online. We do a lot of other things going down the path. We also produced our first book called Your Invisible Toolbox, available on Amazon.com, by the way. But a great book for particularly people who are graduating. It gives a lot of examples of things we've learned over our 25 years in the business, of things that young people, but people of all ages can learn from those experiences.
It is a great book. It's 100 chapters, ladies and gentlemen, and you can start anywhere in the book, and you will get a tidbit or a nugget on how to become a better you.
We have a couple new initiatives coming. Can't talk about them yet, but probably second quarter. We'll give you the first peek at that later on. So look forward to that one down the road.
All right. Wayne Bruins, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the difficulty of change as we head into 2018. Thanks so much for doing this, as always.
Thank
my
you,
friend.
Michael, and happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
All right. We appreciate that. Speaking of listeners, we're going to go ahead and let you know what happened today on Wall Street. The markets, well, they were up moderately today. We'll tell you what happened and why when the Business News Hour continues.